Well, I want to invite you to take out your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're continuing to plug along in this book, in this letter. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen in. But we're going to be finishing up, Lord willing, next week with this series, and we have a lot of exciting things that we're going to be doing this summer with sermon series. But Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 6 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but from the one who sows to the Spirit will reap the Spirit eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, and we're hungry for you to feed us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us into truth here today, that you would strengthen the weary, that you would encourage those that are feeling down here today. And Lord, we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit here today. Lord, we need you and we trust you today. We commit ourselves to you and we pray, Lord, that you would grip our hearts today with your grace. We ask this and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when thinking about our spiritual growth, we as Christians need to know that we are connected to one another, that we are a family. The scripture talks about the fact that we are a body, the body of Christ Jesus, and there is an interrelatedness that we have with one another through Jesus Christ. And so it's interesting, as Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians, he's calling the Galatians to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's calling them to walk in the Spirit and to love and to serve one another. And he also mentions in the previous few verses before this to bear one another's burden, to be able to help carry the load that other people are enduring in the midst of their difficult circumstances. And so Paul is continuing this same thought as we're picking up here in verse 6. And he says, one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, when you read this verse, it's actually kind of puzzling what this verse actually means. It's actually puzzling to biblical scholars about what it means. And their opinions are largely divided into two separate groups in this particular verse. The first view is the narrow view. Because as you think about the context of this passage, in other words, what's going on in the background of this passage, Paul has been talking about bearing one another's burdens, and Paul is therefore saying that those who instruct others spiritually need to be compensated or financially supported. That's the narrow view of this perspective. Now, some would say even say that Paul is making a veiled reference to himself here. I'm not actually sure that that's what Paul was thinking or he was thinking of himself as he's writing this, but we do see in Scripture that the Bible does call us to support teachers of the Word. For example, we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 3 through 14. That's the one view that scholars have of this particular verse. The second view that biblical scholars have for verse 6 is a wider view. It says that, yes, students of the Word need to share in helping meet the needs of their teacher, but this is a much broader thing just simply than financial needs. It amounts to spiritual needs as well. And I have an opinion that agrees with this wider view because he mentions all good things that are mentioned here in this passage, and so that's why I believe in the wider view. Now, I want to be very clear at this point. As pastor, this is a kind of unique verse for me to preach on because it puts myself in a unique role. But my agenda here is not to pad our church's budget or to pad my own pocketbook. I realize that God has blessed this church community, and I'm so grateful for your generosity, even as exemplified in giving to missions as we saw last week. My agenda as a pastor is just simply to call us to obedience, to obey what the Word of God says and to be faithful with it. That's my job. My job, if I'm, my agenda is to make money, I shouldn't be a pastor. But you know, that if I make money, a big amount of money as a pastor, I get investigated. So I want to just say that that's not my agenda. My agenda is to teach the Word of God and to train us so that we can be faithful with it. And so I think a practical application for this first verse in verse 6 is to support your local church. Support your local church, the place where you are primarily fed and taught God's Word. You know, we need to give to global missions, and we need to give to local ministry and missions in our local church. And I know some people say, well, you know, the churches locally have enough money, so I'm going to only give to missions. Well, I'm glad you're giving to missions, but it's not an either or. It's a both and. We want to make sure that we're serving God around the world, but we also want to make sure that we're serving in our local community as well. And this verse clearly teaches that in the place where you're primarily being fed the Word of God, that that's a place where you should support and help give to be able to meet all the spiritual, financial, emotional needs within the context. And I think that's where Paul is driving at here in this verse. So again, give to global missions, give to local missions as well. It's not an either or. Verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now it's interesting, beginning here in verse 7 all the way down to verse 9, Paul's going to give a really serious warning to the Galatians. He's going to use a metaphor of planting and harvesting, of sowing and reaping, and this was actually a common metaphor that was used in Scripture. And basically, this metaphor says this, that there are consequences, whether good or bad, to your actions. There are consequences, whether good or bad, to your actions. Actually, one of your responsibilities if you're a parent is to make sure you're training your kids, you're teaching your kids that very truth. That, you know, if you're going to do this, make this decision and do this, there's going to be a consequence to it. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, but you need to bear in mind the fact that there are repercussions for the decisions that you make. A person reaps what they sow. So it's interesting, Paul says, do not be deceived in this. In other words, don't assume that you can get away with certain things without God paying attention or without final accountability for those actions. That God sees everything, that nothing is hidden from the Lord. He knows and sees everything in your life. He sees every decision that you make. And so therefore, do not think that you can make decisions without God being aware of it. You know, you can't thumb your nose at God in this. You cannot mock or treat him with contempt with the way you live your life. You think you can get away with sin. You think you can get away with dishonesty and deception. But God, dear friends, cannot be duped. God sees everything. And you know, many people today, they live as if there is no God. There are some people that might show up to church. They might listen to the Bible being preached. They might sing songs. But they're practical atheists when it comes to living the rest of their life, because when it comes to living the rest of their life, they're not even mindful. They might believe in a God, but they don't really believe that this God actually sees what they do. And so most people in our culture today, at least many of them, live as if there were no God. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You know, kind of this live and let live. You know, if it feels good, do it. Do what thou wilt. It's actually the number one command in the Satanic Bible. Do what thou wilt. This is how people want to live today. Do how you want to live your life, just live it. Not knowing this, and hear me well, judgment of every thought and every human action is certain. Every thought you've had, every action that you've done, every decision that you've made, you will be accountable to God on Judgment Day. I mean, you can hide from people. You can try to push it in the closet and leave it off to the side. You can fool your friends and your family, dear friends, but you cannot fool God. You can fool people, but you cannot trick God in this. God will not be shamed or mocked in this. God sees your life. You know, there's a lot of people today, if they have things on the computer, They try to do what they can to hide it. And, you know, if they're looking at things that are inappropriate, they try covering things up. They try erasing their history. But I want to say this. God has an understanding of what's going on in the hard drive of your life. That you can try to trick and fool people, and you might get away with it, but you cannot fool God. He sees everything that is going on in your heart and mind. And He even knows your motives even better than you know your own. And so what Paul is saying to the Galatians here, and what I believe God would be saying to us, is there is a certain gravity or weight in how we live our lives. Every choice, every decision matters before God. And there will be a final judgment. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of accounting for how we conducted ourselves in life. You know, here in Colorado, one of the things since we've been here 2 years, as you go past the fire station, you see those boards that display the fire danger sign. You see those different colors on this chart. You see if the needle's pointing towards the green, that there's a low risk of fire in the area. Or it can move up to a blue, and then a yellow, and then an orange, and then finally you get to a code red, where the needle gets all the way off the chart to the other side where it's red. That means that there is a high alert in the area for fire. That's a dangerous thing to think about. And it's interesting, as Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians, he's giving a code red alert to them. He's saying, look, pay attention. Be aware of this. That you think you can get away with some of the things you're doing in life. You think you can push it off to the side and fool people and erase it off your hard drive. But God sees everything. And God's word gives us a clear code red for how we conduct our lives. So pay attention, dear friends, to the choices that you make, because they will be judged by God in the end. And that, not only will they be judged by God in the end, but it will also have repercussions in this life now. That there will be ramifications to your decisions, even to you or your children or your grandchildren. It will affect others. There will be an accounting, and you will reap what you sow. No exceptions. You will reap what you sow. You know, it's interesting. Thank God for who we are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and our past sins have been forgiven. What God has done for us, when we think about our past, it's been cleansed. God throws it away. It's forgotten. But it's not to say that some of the things that we've done in our past won't have repercussions for our lives even now. That law is still in place. We still do reap what we sow. This is why it's critical, not only before what happens, before we become Christians, but particularly now that we are Christians, that we make the godly choices in our lives, because it will, again, have consequences for our lives and for those around us. Look in verse 8. Paul actually applies this statement of sowing and reaping. He says, "For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So Paul is saying this, there are two options that you have in life. And frankly, in every decision you have in life, there are two options. You can sow to please your flesh, or you can sow to please the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be asking, well, what does this flesh mean? Paul's referencing this here. Maybe you've never heard that term used before. Maybe you're thinking, well, it's just our physical bodies. But I think there's more to it than just that. It's our propensity to sin. It's our propensity to live the self life, to do what we want to do. Actually, if you look here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, let me read this. Paul gives a catalog or a list of some of the works of the flesh. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now that it by no means is an exhaustive list, because he says in things like these means that there's any number of possibilities for works of the flesh. But you get it clear that it's sin. It's living in sin. It's living and doing things in our lives without any recognition that God is in control and we are not obedient to the will of God. Now, as we talked about several weeks ago, non-Christians, or in other words, people that are not followers of Jesus Christ truly, have no power to overcome the flesh on their own because they do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. We need to make that very clear. If you're here today and I listed those things, you can say, yeah, I don't think those things are right. But unless you come to Jesus Christ, you will never have true power to overcome those things because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, has not come and indwelt your life. You need to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sin. In other words, turn away from it. You need to place your faith and trust in Him. And when you do that and commit yourself fully to Him, God promises to send you His Holy Spirit who will empower you and give you the help or the grace you need to be able to overcome the flesh. And when you come to Christ, that flesh has been crucified with Christ, and now you can walk in this newness of life. Praise God for that. Amen? That we have that through Jesus Christ. But if you are not a Christian, you do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. Now, as Christians, the flesh is always there, isn't it? That old person, that old way of life, it was always knocking on the door to want to get us to go back and do the things we did before. But as Christians, we must, as Paul says in Romans, reckon ourselves as dead. In other words, we were crucified with Christ, that is past tense, but we must daily reckon ourselves and remember that we are under new management. That we have a new way of life, that Christ Jesus is our Lord, and that He has empowered us to walk by the Holy Spirit and to walk in obedience to Jesus Christ, and that we are crucified, what Paul uses in his language here, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so we must walk in that manner, walk in that way to continually crucify the flesh. And that therefore, when that happens, it leaves those temptations powerless because we can walk according to the will of God. You know, the flesh is like a defensive line set up in football to stop the offensive movement of the team with the ball. And when you come to Christ, God handed you the football and told you to score touchdowns, to kind of go with the metaphor here. And the flesh is a defensive line trying to stop your progress, to kill your drive, if you will, to stop you from scoring, and to keep you stuck in the same place in the middle of the field all the game long. And the flesh operates to keep you out of the end zone, and the job of the flesh is to block your progress and my progress. But saints, through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. Amen? That sin no longer has power and dominion over us. Doesn't mean that we can't run into it at any moment. Doesn't mean that we can't go back to that old way of life. It means that we do not have to because Jesus reigns supreme in us. And as we surrender ourselves and yield ourselves to Him daily, we can walk in that victory. Ken, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians.
If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure.
Amen to that? That is one of the most wonderful promises. There's many wonderful promises in Scripture, but that is such a wonderful promise that anytime the devil tries to tempt us, to tempt our flesh, to do the things that we want to do apart from the will of God, that we have the promise in Scripture that God can make and does make a way of escape for us at any moment. So don't buy into the lie that the devil will throw at you to think you can't get out of this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has promised that you can, and there is freedom as we walk in this newness of life because Jesus has provided for us a pattern which sets for us an example that we might escape the fiery darts of the enemy, but we need to keep the armor of God on, amen? We need to stay strong in Jesus. We need to be mindful that the devil's desire is to take you down. And so therefore, we must walk in this newness of life, in this powerful living, this resurrection power, in order for resurrection to happen, there has to be a prerequisite. There has to be death. And there has to come to a point where we die out to ourselves and our agenda to say, Lord, I want to live for you and not me any longer. As I quoted just a moment ago, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, or in this mortal body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul understood this. And friends, we need to understand this and know this as well. We need to have this understanding and this truth lodged in our heart and minds that there is victory and that we do not have to sin. You know, when Jesus saved us, he didn't just save us from the power and the dominion of hell. He saved us from the power and dominion of sin. That will blow your mind. But God intends to create in you and me a new person. Yes, our personality remains. He transforms us, but his desire is that we walk in holiness and in righteousness and obedience. And this, friends, is impossible if we walk in the flesh. But it's only when we submit or yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit that he does that sanctifying or transforming work in us so that we become more and more like Jesus. And if our aim is to follow Jesus and to honor him, we will seek to please the Holy Spirit. We will seek to do what honors him, and he will empower us. This will mean that our time, our talent, our treasure will be used in a way that glorifies Jesus. This will mean that we support the work of the gospel, helping support the zeals and other people, that we help others go out into mission and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will do what we can to advance God's kingdom here on this earth. And we will live in obedience to the commands of Jesus. D.L. Moody once said this. He said, if you have been born of the Holy Spirit, you will not have to serve God. It will become the most natural thing to do. This is a freeing thing that we have in Christ Jesus. It's freeing to know that he set us free from the power of sin and death, that we can walk in this newness of life. And if you've never experienced this in your life, I can't think of a better day to say, Jesus, today I want to follow you. I want to experience this newness of life. I want to have this Holy Spirit come and indwell my life that I can walk in victory where I have been having defeat. Jesus gives us that power. You know, many airports, you go to these airports and they have these moving walkways down the middle. I actually love them. I just love kind of running down them. And I'm a fast walker anyway, so actually these moving walkways really help enhance things along, especially if you're in a hurry trying to get to the other side of the airport, trying to catch a plane, or it just helps out if you're tired. You can just kind of sit still, and you got to stay to the right if you're sitting still, by the way. Walk on the right, run on the left. But you have these moving walkways, and they allow travelers to get around the airport a little faster than they would in their own power. And travelers can still walk, but are now able to do so with ease because of the force that's underneath them, that's propelling them forward. And walking in the Holy Spirit implies that we are still obviously on the move. We're not sitting still. We're not sitting down or being passive in anything, but we walk and the Holy Spirit is helping us. That he's empowering us to do things and go further and faster than we could ever do in our flesh or in our own. Because we can't please God if we're doing things in the flesh. We need to abide in the Spirit. And he moves us along. He governs us. He guides us to where God wants us to be. And Jesus doesn't leave us powerless. Think about that. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised to give us the Holy Spirit, and we have now the power. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives us everything that we need, the grace of God, to fulfill everything that he's purposed for us. But every day and every moment, we have a choice. Will we please the Holy Spirit? Will we honor God with our decisions? Or will we live to please ourselves and do just simply whatever we want to do? Will we get on the moving walkway? Will we abide in the Holy Spirit and let him govern our thoughts? And so Paul's point as he's writing this, these Galatians here, he says you can seed into two entirely different fields with your life. And from these two different fields, you will reap a harvest that corresponds to the nature of the fields themselves. He's saying you can sow to one or sow to the other. But if you sow only to please yourself in this life and do what you want to do without being mindful of God or mindful of His ways, you will ultimately reap destruction. You will. And you will not fool God in that. God will not be mocked in that when you live that way. But if you sow to please the Holy Spirit, you sow into the field, that field, to honor Jesus with your life, you will ultimately reap eternal life. So which field are you sowing into? You know, with every deed, you and I are sowing into a field. You may not see it, you may not recognize it, but every day, you're in the business of sowing. At your workplace, at home, with kids, you're sowing. Where are you sowing? Are you sowing to please your flesh or to please the Holy Spirit? And when we please the Holy Spirit, we will do things that honor God because it's the Holy Spirit who guides us. And we must cooperate with Him. We must keep walking, keep being faithful, keep honoring Jesus with our lives. Look in verse 9. He says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Friends, do not give up. That's the title of today's message is Don't Grow Weary. This is an incredible thing that we have to remember, that there are times that we want to quit. There are times that we want to give up. There are times when we want to throw in the towel and just forget the whole thing. We do get tired in life. Isaiah said, even youth grow tired and weary. We all grow tired. We all get exhausted with life. I've been there in my life. I've been there many times in my life. About 5-6 years ago, I hit that wall and I was burnt out and I just wanted to quit ministry altogether and just forget the whole thing. It's not worth the heartache. Just say, God, forget it. By God's grace, through passages like this, I was reminded to keep going on and keep moving forward, even at times when I didn't feel like it. And you know, many of you have felt that same way in your life, and perhaps you feel that way even today. I believe the Holy Spirit would be saying to you, do not give up. Keep moving forward. Maybe as a mom, maybe there's some moms here today, you feel extremely tired and worn out, and God knows you deal with that. I have so much respect for moms with little kids waking up during the middle of the night, and older kids too. Men and women, we all grow tired, but maybe you're at that point today. I want to say this, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus will give you the grace you need. He will give you the grace you need to persevere through anything that you're going through as you lean into Him. You know, that word persevere comes from two actually root words. The prefix meaning per has this idea of going through. Per means through. Severe means obviously something severe, severe circumstances. So when we talk about perseverance, it means that God will give you the grace to go through severe circumstances at times, but He will give you the help you need at every moment. Can we get a big hearty amen to that? Amen. We get that grace. Whatever you're facing, whatever storm you're in, whatever challenges before you, God will give you the grace that you need. And perseverance, I've learned, is not just a long race. In many ways, it's a lot of short races that are all lined up one after the other. It's tiring. Life is tiring. We get beat up by life. Life has a way of bringing each of us to our knees, doesn't it? Someone once said, perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you already did. There's some truth to that. It's a lot of work. Being a parent, serving in certain work settings, school, going to the mission field, around the world, doing mission here in our own community, doing ministry. There are challenges. And it can be tiring, and it is. But friends, if we reap what we sow, there's going to be a final reward for all the work that we did for Jesus. There's going to be a reward. Work that might have felt like a small task or insignificant duty at the time, something that you just kind of thought, well, you know, it's what I normally do, that will be rewarded if we did it in faithfulness to Jesus and that which he has called and set before us to do. There will be a reward. And we need to be mindful of this, friends, because if you don't recognize that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, a tunnel can be very discouraging because sometimes you see only darkness. You only see the difficulties that you're enduring. You're only experiencing the pain that you're going through in life, and you can't see the light. And sometimes you have to go through those dark tunnels and live by faith and not by sight, right? When you can't see the light. But friends, what Jesus promises us is that there will be reward. There will be light at the end. And it will be more glorious than any one of us can imagine. And the labor and the difficulties that we experience now, even though they might seem severe, and they oftentimes are, compared to eternity, we'll have all eternity to enjoy the glory of the Lord and to worship Jesus Christ. You know, in due season, in other words, Paul's saying, at the appropriate God-ordained time in the future, a harvest will be reaped if we do not give up. The payoff is in the future. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we know that if our faith is in Jesus Christ, it's going to be more glorious than we could have ever imagined. But reaping has a condition to it. But Paul's saying, we must not give up. We must not grow weary in the sense that we throw in the towel and say, this is enough. Paul's saying, keep doing well. Keep your hand to the plow. Keep serving as a mom or as a dad or as a single person or a retiree, whatever path that God has you in right now. Be faithful to the calling that God has set before you. Because, dear friends, if you do the things that God requires of you now, you will be rewarded. And as I've said time and time again, for us as Christians, this world is the only hell we'll ever have to know. And because that is true, we have heaven to look forward to. And yes, we certainly do and receive some of the blessings now in this life. There's certainly some reaping here and now that we do receive. But friends, there are times in life where we're going through a lot of pain and suffering, but we have this hope. You know, suffering produces perseverance, Paul says in Romans, and perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope does not disappoint us. That if our hope is in Jesus Christ, you will never ultimately be let down. Though you might be tired and weary now, keep going on. Keep moving forward. In the name of Jesus, do it. Live for Him. Why? Because the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming, and the reward is better than we can imagine. Verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, moms, dads, single folks, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, take advantage of every moment you have. Take advantage of every moment you have. You know, life and time is a precious thing. It's even more precious than money, because if you lose money, you can get money back. But if you lose time, you can't get time back. Time is a precious thing that we all have, that God has given us. And we don't know how long our lives will be, but we need to make sure that every moment of our lives are invested into eternity. You know, there's a difference between spending and investing. Spending means you get rid of it, you might, you know, get a service or buy something and it's done with. But if you invest it, it means it has future ramifications. That there's an investment that we have into the kingdom. You know, there's a lot of people today that are spending their lives here and now for the things of this world that one day will soon be gone. But we, friends, invest into the kingdom of heaven, and that investment not only has ramifications here and now, but it has implications for eternity. as we sow to please the Holy Spirit. So keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep serving people with love. Keep bearing one another's burdens. This is what Paul's saying to the Galatians, who were becoming tired themselves. They were growing weary. Paul's saying, keep doing it. Don't grow lax and take God for granted with your life. Don't let your faith degenerate into a mere credence or just simply a set of beliefs. Keep being obedient to Jesus and obeying him. And so Paul is giving a code red to these folks, to the Galatians who were being swayed by these false teachers, and they were being complacent and tired of doing the right things. And they were misunderstanding a whole lot of things as Paul's trying to correct them. But Paul is basically saying to them, and I believe the Holy Spirit would be saying to us today, maintain a life of freedom in Christ Jesus. Continue to keep moving forward. Look after everyone, especially people that you call brothers and sisters. You know, there's a lot of people here today, we're not going to lift hands, but there's some of you that felt very worn out this morning. Some of you that felt like, man, I felt like somebody dragged me in here on an ambulance. I feel completely worn out. And we may never know that. But I'll tell you, one of the things I want to encourage you to do is you continue to be an encourager. Continue to be a light for those that are struggling, maybe even internally, because you never know how your word of encouragement can help give them strength for another day and for the things that lie before them. Because God knows that we all need encouragement, don't we? That we would live that way. So two questions I have for you this morning. The first question is this: which field are you sowing into with your life? Which field are you sowing into? Are you sowing into please the flesh or please the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you this, maybe a better way of saying it, is when was the last time you ever said no to your flesh? When was the last time you said no to your flesh? Most of the time, we're used to just doing what we want to do, when we want to do it, where we want to do it. We go about it. When was the last time? This is why, for example, fasting is a critical thing, because it teaches us to say, you know what? I'm going to say no to the flesh so that I might say yes to the Holy Spirit. We want to say, oh, we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, but when was the last time you said no to your flesh? We need to continually be in alignment with the Holy Spirit and sow into the things of the Holy Spirit. You know, back in the 1930s, they had the Dust Bowl in some of the lower plain states. You think of Oklahoma and Kansas, and all the land as it was being dried out and the wind was going through there. The animals and the cattle were dying and the land was no good. Basically, they had to leave it. And they had to go find more fertile ground. They had to go to other places so that they could make a life. And some of you have been sowing into a land that is not fertile. It's fertile for sin, but it's not fertile for the things of righteousness, the things of God. You've been living to please yourself. You need to repent, and you need to leave that field in the name of Jesus, and you need to go to a new place, the place of the Holy Spirit that is found in Jesus Christ, to plant into that field. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, God might have brought you here this morning for a very specific reason to warn you. If you keep doing this, if you keep living how you want to live, then in the end, there's going to be consequences, and it will ultimately mean death and destruction, and there will be hell to pay. But friends, the second question, after we have to ask ourselves what field we're sowing into with our lives, the second question is this: are you feeling tired today? Are you feeling worn out by life? You might say, well, yes, I've been sowing in the right field for a long time. I've been faithful to the things that God has put me, maybe as a mom or as a dad or working in this certain field. Or, you know, I've been faithful in doing the ministry that God has called me to do. But I'm just tired. And I'm worn out. And I don't know how I can make it another day. I can't go on. I want to remind you that we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. And I believe the invitation for you today is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have a cup of water and you're continually pouring out, before long, if you're not replenishing the water, what happens? The water runs out. It dries out. But friends, we come as we gather, as we worship the Lord together to be filled. Not just so it reaches the top, but so that it overflows over. And perhaps, in the midst of our difficulties and the way in which we're giving of ourselves to help support kids or neighbors or friends or family or coworkers, the God is thinking of you today and say, I want to overflow your life with my life and my power and my Holy Spirit, so that no longer are you giving out of a place of deficit, but you're giving out of a place of abundance once again. Where you're giving to your kids, or you're giving to your workplace, as a spillover of what God is doing in you. But friends, we have to come to a place where we acknowledge, God, yes, I'm tired. God knows we are. But we lean into Him and say, Lord, would you fill my cup? Would you fill me up once again? Because I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your Holy Spirit. And it's when we recognize our need of God, and when we surrender and yield ourselves completely to Him, He gives us His Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just a matter of willpower and discipline. You know, there's this advice you hear sometimes, well, if you're at the end of your rope, just tie a knot in the bottom of the rope and hang there. There's some wisdom in that. But friends, what we're talking about here, and when we're talking about the life, the long endurance seasons of our lives, it's not just tying a knot in the end of our rope. It's acknowledging that we can't do it unless the Helper comes and unless the Holy Spirit empowers us. So as we conclude the service, I want to just invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to conclude with the song, Lord, I Need You. And if you're here today and you're feeling tired, we can certainly do what we can to encourage one another. But I want to say this, that the Holy Spirit wants you to be filled more than you even want to be filled yourself. And He wants to overflow your life with His abundant grace. Moms, women, I'm talking particularly to you. As you serve so faithfully, as you care for the needs of others around you, the Holy Spirit is your helper, and men too. So let us cry out to God this morning out of desperation, out of a recognition that God, you're the only one that can do this. And as we lean in, let us be filled with His Spirit this morning. Let's sing together.